Pesach there is a din of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei, and the Gemara says that one is only in violation of this din of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei if the chametz belongs to him. Chemtza shal Nachri, if a Nachri walks into my rishus with his chametz, I don't have to ask him to take the chametz out. There's no Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. What if another Jew comes into my apartment and he owns his chametz? So the Yisum Shulchan Aruch that it's permissible, but Rashi's opinion in the Gemara Pesachim seems to be the Chemtza shal Yisrael Acher b'shusi, I'm in violation of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. So let's say if I have a student goes to university, he goes to Columbia University, let's imagine, and he has a roommate in the dormitory who's not religious. So it's not only the roommate's problem of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. If he has a roommate, he's not Jewish, so there's not a problem of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei, Chemtza shal Nachri. But if he has a Jewish roommate who's not religious and he wants to keep the chametz in the apartment, so it is my business, according to Rashi. So remember, Abaron Soloveitchik, Zecharno Lebracha, always used to encourage the students from Columbia who would ask him the shailas. So he would always encourage them to be choshish for Shitas Rashi, to try to see to it that, let's say, if they have two different bedrooms, and the other Jew sleeps in the other bedroom, so let him keep his chametz in his bedroom. Let him not keep the chametz in the kitchen that's used by both of us. That's chemtza shal Yisrael acha b'shus ha Yisrael ha'acher. That's not b'shusi. But if it's going to be in the kitchen where we both use, we both share the use of the kitchen, so we should try to be machma for Rashi's opinion that there is a problem of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. In order to avoid this Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei, so we either dispose of all the chametz, we burn it, or the practice has developed over the last 200 years that we sell all of the chametz to the Nachri. We have a whole big Mechiras chametz. In the days of the Tanoim, we have a Tosefta that talks about Mechiras chametz. A Jew is traveling on a boat, and he's going to travel on the boat for 3 months, 6 months. And he has all of his food in one bag, so he has tons of chametz there. So you can't tell him to throw the chametz over into the ocean. He won't have any food to eat. So the Tosefta has an institution of Mechiras chametz. In such a case, he got stuck. In Europe, they would have Mechiras chametz if a Jew owned a liquor shop or a Jew owned a bakery. So he has to have chametz. That's his business. Or a Jew had a farm and he has chametz that he has to feed to the cows. So he would do Mechiras chametz. It's not, if he has a farm with cows, it's not sufficient to sell the chametz to the Nachri and tell the Nachri to please feed my cows, because chametz is also bahano. So if my cows are eating, I'm encouraging the Nachri to feed my cows chametz, so I'm getting hanor from the chametz. So that's also. So they had to sell the cows and sell the canary parrot with the chametz, with the canary food. You have to sell a cow with the chametz. Then I tell a Nachri he should feed the chametz to the cow. So there's no isa hanor on the part of the Jewish farmer. His cow is not eating the chametz. The goy's cow is eating the chametz. There's no Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei, and it can't pin on him an issue of roitze b'kiyumai either. Shulchan Aruch, they talk about roitze b'kiyumai, that it's a form of getting hano, but over here, roitze b'kiyumai would be if I'm happy that the Nachri is feeding my cow chametz, roitze b'kiyumai of the chametz. But here, the Nachri is feeding his own cow chametz. So that's what they instituted. The Nesivus is the one who gave the psak, that this harama is permissible. For the farmers to sell the cow to the Nachri and sell the chametz to the Nachri and tell the Nachri he should feed the chametz to the cows. So the Nesivus writes that he holds that this haram is mutter. And the Rav from Bechach, the Bechach Rav, sent him a letter. How can you be matir? Would appear from the Yerushalmi that we don't permit harame in other cases other than Pinyin Maisusheni Levdosa Balo Chomesh, the Yerushalmi and Maisusheni. So the Nesivus says we don't paskin like that. And he says, my psak has been accepted all over. Basically, the harama that we do by Mechiras Chametz is called the legal fiction. There's a harama. The harama is in order to avoid violation of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. One is not permitted to do a harama to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. But in order to avoid violation of an averi, you can do all the haramas you want. As long as by hook or by crook, you're not in violation of Bal Yiroi Bai Matzei. So there's no averi. A harama that's not proper, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Chasam Sofer's tshuva, is the common practice today that people are going away to their parents or their in-laws or whatever, and they don't want to do bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz is a mitzvah. We say a bracha, shekedeshanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu. Obviously, the Bedikas Chametz is considered the Menat Torah, the Rabbanah, the Haskalah of the Bir Chametz. We say, Asher Kedushanim and Mitzvah Yitzivanu al Bir Chametz. So, the Menat Torah, the Rabbanah, the beginning, the Haskalah of the Bir Chametz, of the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. So, a lot of people have a whole Chachmem, a patent. Instead of having to do Bedikas Chametz on the whole apartment, so they just rent the whole apartment to the Nochri, they move out, they rent the whole apartment to the Nochri, and it's not theirs on Leil Yudalit, it's not their apartment, so they feel they're not mechuyev to do Bedikas Chametz. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chasam Sofer and says that that's not proper. Since Bedikas Chametz is a mitzvah, so if you don't plan to be in the apartment, so you're not going to use an apartment that's not baduk, so that's not a problem. But still, it's not proper to do this harama, to rent the whole apartment to the Nochri before it comes Leil Yudalit, in order to relieve yourself of the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. So he says, at least you should leave that one room that you're not going to rent to the Nochri. At least you should fulfill the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz on one of the rooms. We permit harama in order to avoid violation of Averis, but that's the Bechiras Chametz is a harama in order to avoid violation of Bal Yerah Bayi Matzi. We always leave over little chametz that we are going to destroy, we are going to burn. But we don't permit harame in order to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. Sof kol sof, bottom line, you'll be left without a mitzvah. Now, the days of the Shulchan Aruch in the 1500s, they didn't have this mechiras chametz that we have. Everybody, every single person leaves chametz in their home and they all rely on the rabbi doing bedikas chametz. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, a farmer here and there would have, a Jewish liquor shop would have, a baker would have. But 98% of the Jewish population did not rely on Mechiras Chametz. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you want to, you can destroy your Chametz, Leil Bedikas Chametz. You found Chametz, you're going to burn the Chametz, goodbye, you're going to finish the whole story. Or you can burn the Chametz Erev Pesach in the morning. You don't have to wait. The Mishnah says, Sorfim Tchila Sheish. So you don't have to wait till Tchila Sheish, the beginning of Shoshish, you can burn the Chametz earlier. I think that that's only bizmana Shulchan Aruch, bizmana Gemara, bizmana Shulchan Aruch, that they didn't practice Mechiras Chametz. But today, that almost everybody in your uncle does Mechiras Chametz. So what do you mean, I'm going to burn the Chametz, I'm going to finish davening at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to burn 1% of my Chametz, but I still have 99% of the Chametz left behind. Oh, then I'm going to rely, the rabbi is going to sell that Chametz to the Nochri. So the rabbi is going to sell. The pashta says that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu is to destroy it. Shaloi b'derach achilu, shaloi b'derach hanor. The Balamor writes a famous line, that one who eats chametz and erev Pesach in the afternoon is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. When you eat the chametz, ain't lecha hashbasa g'dayla mizu. So Tosis says, not like the Balamor. We follow the Tosis. Tosis says that Tashbisu means you have to destroy the chametz in a fashion, shaloi b'derach achilu, shaloi b'derach hanor. So if you sell the chametz to a nachri, that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So what did you say last night? Abrach al bir chametz. What's the bir chametz? All the chametz that I'm going to find, I'm going to sell to the goy. That's not bir chametz. You have to leave over chametz that you're going to burn. The pashtus is you should destroy the last bit of chametz that you have. So I have 100 units of chametz, and 99% of the chametz I'll sell to the nachri, and the last 1% that I have, I should burn. But not if I do fakert. I'm going to burn 1% of my chametz, and I still have the bulk of my chametz in my kitchen, in the cabinets. So that I'm not going to destroy, that I'm going to sell to the Nachri. So that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Ramban writes like this in the beginning of Psochim, that the mitzvah of Tashbisu means to destroy the last bit of chametz that you have. So the pashta says, I think that today that we all rely on the rabbi selling our chametz, we really ought to wait till after the rabbi sells the chametz, to go burn the chametz that we have left over. There is an old minig that from the days of the Rishonim already, that before the Bedikas chametz, somebody puts out 10 pieces of chametz to make sure that the one who is searching will find something. So the Be'er Heitiv and Hilchas Pesach quotes from the Ravid in the Sefer Tamim Deim, that's the Tshuvas of the Ravid, the regular Ravid on the Rambam. So the Ravid calls it a minig noshin. So some people misunderstood this to mean that the minig is that the women put the 10 pieces of chametz. So that's not what it means. The rabbi is making fun of it. He says, "Avayberish and minig is a narishkeit. It's not talmidei chachamim. Ami horitz." He means the women are ram. It means that maybe in the days of the rabbi, the women, they didn't have a kolelet, they didn't have a medreshet, yom rishon. So it's avayberish. He calls the women. He refers to as ami horitz. It's a minig. Noshim means a minig ami horitz. Most people do have the minig. The Chazon Ish didn't have that minhag because the Ravid says it's a vibrish meaning on my heart, so he didn't do it. But many, you see that many Rishonim did have it. The Arizal put in Kavonis, a person should have in mind that he's misaken each one of the pieces of chametz that he's going to burn. He's going to have at least 10. He's going to be misaken what he was poigim in the Esa Sfiris. So whatever Kavonis you have, those who have the minhag should preserve the minhag. Those who don't have the minhag, don't have the minhag. Okay. When one does a bedikas chametz in advance of Leil Yudalid, so there is a dispute in the Rishonim whether a bracha is recited here in the dormitory. They chase everybody out. So most of the people are going to do a bedikas chametz way before Leil Yudalid. So the bedikas chametz that's done earlier than this man, so the psak and Shulchan Aruch is that a bracha is not recited. But just because a bracha is not recited doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to be medaktik. You still have to be medaktik to do them in the bedikas chametz in a proper fashion. Somebody asked Meshaila, what does he do with his sink in his dormitory room? What does he do with his sink? He's not going to use the sink, so what's the Shaila? What do you do with your chametz dikah dishes? There's no bal yirah in chametz dikah dishes unless you have spaghetti stuck to the dish, unless you have bread or a cake stuck to the dish. But if it's just a bli of chametz in the kelim, so we assume lahalacha that there's no bal yirah by motziyam bli as kelim. You don't have to sell the bli in the kelim. If you have chametz stuck on the outside, so you should either sell that to a nochri or better yet, wash out the kelim. You're going to get cockroaches. There's no bal yirah by motziyam bli as kelim. So if you have chametz dikah kelim, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should put it away in a cabinet and tie up the cabinet, the mark on the front, this is not for Passover use, or whatever, to make sure that nobody makes a mistake. If you have a chametz dikah sink in your dormitory room, so you're not going to use the room of a Pesach. They lock up the dorm. I remember years ago, there was one student didn't have where to go for Pesach, so he stayed in the dormitory room, they locked him into it, they locked up the whole building, and didn't daven with a minyan. He had his own food, he made Pesach for 8 days, he stayed. All kinds of people in the dormitory. The Ramban is quoted by the Beis Yosef on Hilchas Pesach that Tfilah B'Tzibur is Daraisa on Yontif, on Shabbos and Yontif. The word Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. You shouldn't be locked into your dormitory all by yourself. Have another 9 people locked into the dormitory with you, that's what to discuss. But you're supposed to have Tfilah B'tzibur on Yontif, even though the Ramban thinks generally that Tfilah is only Midi Rabbanon, the obligation to daven every day is only Midi Rabbanon, but Tfilah B'tzibur on Shabbos and Yontif, he says this is the Raisa. Tfilah B'tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, that everybody gets together to do in Yoni Kedusha. Mikra means Kruy Ho'eda, to gather together. So one who's in the dormitory doesn't have to worry about the chametz dikah sink. If you have chunks of chametz on the sink, so wash out the sink. Make sure the chunks of chametz are not there. The sink at home, which you're going to use for Pesach dikah dishes, you should take a kasha. So if you have a stainless steel sink, and the whole concern is that the sink may have become chametz because you threw some chametz over, some chametz spilled there, so you take a kettle of boiling hot water and you pour the burning hot water, the whole kibola kachpolta, the same way the sink became treifed, it became chametz, that's how you have to kasher it. So you kasher it by pouring burning hot water on the sink if you think that's the way it became chametz. And then after you make it kosher lePesach, then you should try not to put, even after that, you should buy a plastic container, a plastic rack, to make sure that you don't put the Pesach dikah dishes directly into the sink, because it's still a concern. The kashering of the sink is liyesa seis, just in case one of the Pesach dikah dishes will touch the side of the sink, so you should kasher the sink. But you really shouldn't have the Pesach dikah dishes sitting in the sink with burning hot water or anything like that. All year long in Shulchan Aruch there's a discussion whether it's proper to daven mincha gedola. We do it all the time. We daven every Sunday at 1:30, 1:35, whatever it is now. We daven every day 2:30. That's mincha gedola. That's not mincha ktana. Mincha ktana is way later in the day. So in the yeshivas in Europe, they were always mekel because of bitl Torah. They didn't want to daven mincha in the middle of this month. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, many are of the opinion based on the Rambam that davening mincha gedol is only b'di'evit or b'shas hadchak. L'chatchil you should avoid it, except for erev Pesach, because in the Beis Hamikdash they brought the korban, they brought the the Korban Pesach had to be brought after the Tamei Shel Bein HaAbayim. So the Korban Tamei Shel Bein HaAbayim was offered in the Beis HaMikdash earlier on Erev Pesach, so that everybody should have an opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that's the one day of the year that everybody's maskim that you can daven mincha earlier. There is an inyan to daven mincha earlier on every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontov. There is a mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch it says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who are of the opinion that it's a mitzvah lehoisef mechayla la kodesh. That's based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. The Gemara quotes different Tanoim. And there's a machlokes harishonim, what the maskan is. So the Rambam's opinion is that mosifim mechayla la kodesh is only a mitzvah once a year on Yom Kippur, to have tosefes lefaneho leachreho. And the other Rishonim think that it applies to every Shabbos and every Yontov. So the Pashtus is, the Mechaber writes, Yesh Omrim, there are those who have the opinion that you should always be Moisim Mechayel Al HaKodesh, and every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontov. So you're going to be Moisim Mechayel Al HaKodesh, so you should daven Mincha earlier. Once you Mechaber Tosef is Shabbos, so then many are of the opinion that, that's why it sounds in Shulchan Aruch, once you Mechaber Tosef is Shabbos, so it's not proper to daven Tfilas Chol, it's not proper to daven Mincha after that. So you should always try to daven Mincha earlier in order to be Mechaber Tosef is Shabbos, and Tosef is Yontif earlier. In Europe, there were two minhagim regarding Hadlokas Haneris on Yontif. On Erev Shabbos, you have to ben shlicht. Someone has to ben shlicht mibod yom. You can't light the candles on Friday night. It's a malacha. On Leil Yontif, you are permitted to light candles if the room is dark. So many had the practice. They would wait till the husband came home from shul, and then the women would light the candles. And many say that that's not correct. More correct is that even on Erev Yontif, it's also one should be madlik as haneris in advance, like whatever one does on Erev Shabbos, 30 minutes before, 35 minutes before Shkia, 80 minutes before Shkia, whatever the minig is, on an Erev Shabbos, one should do the same on Erev Yontov. Rabbi Tzela Peterburger was the outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Saul Salanter in learning. He wrote the Chuvas Pri Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok Blaser. So he writes in his Chuvas, in the Pri Yitzchok, he has a whole essay about this. And this is his conclusion. The more Rav Soloveitchik Golsa said, the more correct is to be madlik haneris mibod yom, even on Erev Yontov, not only on Erev Shabbos. There's an issue of reciting Shechayonu. Many of the women have a minig that they recite Shechayonu when they madlik haneris, and many poskim are unhappy about this. Many say the more correct is everybody can say Shechayonu whenever they want. The Gemara says, Shechayonu, I'm Rafila Bashuk. The husband can say Shechayonu as he's walking home in the street, as he's walking home from shul. But more correct is to save the Shechayonu until you recite the Kiddush. You elevate the Hashivas of the Shechayonu by making it into a Brocha Lakos. So the women should do the same. Rather than say Shechayonu, B'Shas Hadlokas HaNeris, most poskim assume that more correct would be if the women would wait till the Kiddush and then save the Shechayonu till the Kiddush. On Erev Pesach in the afternoon, there's a special inyan a lot of Haggadahs have. We have a pasuk in Novi, Nishal Mefarim Svasenu, that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, when we are unable to offer the Korbanos, so Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim? How will we have the schus to maintain Eretz Yisrael? The Jews only have the schus to keep Eretz Yisrael and the schus of Hakrovis HaKorbanos. So now we have Eretz Yisrael. We don't have any hakrobas hakrobonim. So the Rabbanu Shalom told Avraham Avinu, and that's the Gemara, the last daf in Megillah, let your descendants recite the parshas hakrobonim, amala ani aleim, I will consider it kilu hikrivum. So that's why we recite karbonis every day. Rabbi Yonah holds that reciting of karbonis is a din deraisa. Shulchan Aruch says reciting karbonis is a midas chasidus. It's a recommended inyan. But the Rabbi Yonah holds that it's more than recommended. So if the Rabbanu Shalom told Avraham Avinu that you have to recite Karbanos. So as the Rabbanu Shalom said, so it's a din deraisa. If the Rabbanim say something, it becomes a din derabbanim. But if the Rabbanu Shalom says he's the boss, so then it becomes a din deraisa. So on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, many have the practice to recite the parsha of Korban Pesach and to learn the Mishnah. There's one Mishnah where it describes how they did the Hakrobas of Korban Pesach, an easy Mishnah. To recite that Mishnah, like every day we say Parshas HaKorbanos, and then we say Yizel Mekayman. We recite Mishnah Dalet, Hoy LaKodesh Kodoshim. So on Erev Pesach, many have the practice to recite the Pesukim in Chumash. and then to recite the Mishnah about Hakrobas Hakorban Pesach. Before Pesach, when we get rid of all of the chametz, so everybody asks, what about the medications, what about the toiletries, the toothpaste, and so on and so forth. So most of the poskim are of the opinion that nifsal me'achilos ha'odem and nifsal me'achilos ha'kelev doesn't make a difference whether the food rotted on its own or you mixed in other ingredients and you made it nifsal me'achilo. So most of the poskim say that all these things are nifsal me'achilos ha'odem, nifsal me'achilos ha'kelev, the toothpaste and all of the pills, the capsules and all of the everything is nifsal unless you have chewables that taste good. If it has flavoring in it, so you got to make sure the flavoring, just like all year long, you have to make sure the flavoring is not treif. So for Pesach, you have to check to make sure that the flavoring shouldn't be chametzdik. But if it doesn't have any flavoring, it's just medication, so then, or it's toothpaste or something like that, that a normal person wouldn't eat, nifs machilos adam is enough. You don't even need nifs machilos hakela for... Most of the time, you don't need nifs machilos. You only need nifs machilos hakelev on sa'or. The stuff that we have is not sa'or. So that's what most of the poskim say. All the chumris, where they have all the lists and everything, is all based on the assumption, which is not accepted la'alocha by ruba de ruba of the poskim, that in order to be nifs machilos hakelev, it has to be hisriach me'elo. But the accepted opinion is, even if you mixed in other ingredients and you made it nifs machilos, it's also considered nifs machilos. The Mishnah has a special din. You're not allowed to eat a meal on Erev Pesach Samach Lemincha. The Rashbam learns Samach means half an hour before Zman of Tfilas Mincha. Why? Kedeshi Yochal Korban Pesach Leteyovim. Zman is that nobody's eating any Korban Pesach. So Kedeshi Yochal Matzah Leteyovim. So you're not permitted to eat a meal. Samach Lemincha means half an hour before which Mincha? Before the Mincha Gedoyla? Before the Mincha Ketana. On Erev Pesach, he can daven Mincha Gedoyla, but the Gemara doesn't mention that over here. That's irrelevant. The question is, when the Mishnah says Samach LeMincha, you're not allowed to eat a meal, so which Mincha are they talking about? So the Maskonas HaGemara of HaShulchan Aruch is Samach LeMincha Ketana. Samach LeMincha Gedoyla would be at Chatzos. Mincha Gedoyla is a half an hour after Chatzos. So the Rashbam says Samach means half an hour before. Half an hour before, half an hour after Chatzos is Chatzos. So we don't pasken like that. The Gemara has a suffix. Does the Mishnah mean Samach LeMincha Gedola means starting from Chatzos, you're not allowed to eat a meal? Or Samach LeMincha Ketana means way later? So we pasken Samach LeMincha Ketana half an hour before, 2.5 hours before the end of the day. In other words, 3 hours before the end of the day. No? 3 hours before the end of the day, so don't eat a meal. To nash a little bit, the Gemara says Bini Tagima is okay, but if you're going to nash ahi, nash ahi, nash the other thing, so you're going to be full, so you have to be careful not to nash too much. Not to nash too much. On Pesach night, everybody knows, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that one doesn't begin the Seder, you don't begin to recite the Kiddush until after Tzeis HaKochavim. There is a minority opinion disagreeing, but that's the accepted view in Shulchan Aruch. When one recites Kiddush, the Gemara says regular Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. Some people forget. They have to have the first half of the Seder here, and then they're going to the second half of the Seder. The grandmother's sick in the hospital. So they're going to have the Seder up until the second cup of wine, Ashug Yalonu, and then they're going to go to the hospital and wash over there and have the rest of the Seder there. So you can't do that on Pesach night. Or they're going to have the first half of the Seder with their parents, second half of the Seder they're going to have with the in-laws. They're going to go up. So you can't split in the middle. Then it requires Kiddush b'makom suda. You have to eat the meal the same place where you said Kiddush. If you want to, after you finish the Birchas HaMazon, that's the third cup of wine. After the third cup of wine, then you can go somewhere else and say the end of the Hallel. Okay, that if you're free to go somewhere else, that's not a problem. But from the Kiddush through the end of the Birchas HaMazon, that has to be in the same place. Or if a person wants to split in the middle, he can after he says Hamotzi, he has Alachilas Matzah, then he has the Mara, then he has the Kairach. So if he wants, he can have in mind when he says Hamoitzi, when he washes, says Hamoitzi, he has a mind to finish the meal somewhere else. So if he wants, he can split the Seder in such a fashion. It's a little unusual, but the din from all year long that one requires Kiddush Mokum Suda applies on Pesach night also. You see, here in the neighborhood, the Shaila comes up all the time. because we're near Columbia Presbyterian. So a lot of people come in Shabbos, little Shabbos, B'ruchu Shabbos, Erev Yontov, Nidla Yontov. People coming in having babies, emergencies, and everything, and they start the Seder on one place, and they think they're going to finish the Seder in the hospital. So it's just not correct. You have to have Kiddush B'makom Masudah on Pesach night. In other areas, the Shaila never comes up, but near Columbia Presbyterian Shaila comes up every Pesach. We have the Seder of the list of the Simonim of the Seder, Kadesh Urchatz. We wash until the Sedayim before we dip the carpus into salt water. The Gemara explains that this was a Takonas Chachamim, that if you're eating a Dovish and Tevula B'mashke, you're going to dip the carpus into salt water. So one is required to have Netilas Yadayim in advance. This Netilas Yadayim in advance really only makes sense at the time that they were careful on Tumah V'Tara. Because Yadayim Shnias Hayin, Stam Yadayim Askanias, Yadayim Shnias, so the Yadayim are going to be Metami the water is going to be Metami the Karpas, going to eat the Karpas, is going to make you Tame. And so what if you tell we're all Tame? So what's the problem? No, Bizman Amigdosh, if I'm going to become Tame, so I won't be able to eat the Korban Pesach, I won't be able to eat Truma, I won't be able to eat Kachim. Yeah, but no one's eating Truma, no one's eating Maaseh Sheni, no one's eating Kachim today. So that's why there's a big dispute in the Rishonim whether that takana de rabbana, that din, that one has to wash before eating a dovish and tevula b'mashke, does it apply today or not? So the Shita's Bali Atesis is that the whole takana doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Why do we do it on Pesach night? So we assume, the Netziv explains in the Sagara, we assume that this is a zechel amigdosh. In the days of the Beis Amigdosh, they used to wash with dovish and tevula b'mashke. So we make a zechel amigdosh. That's why many Yekish Poskim have in their Sfarim, and that's a practice that many Yekis have, that only the father of the household washes in the Tilis Yadayim before Karpas. Before Hamoitzi, everybody washes, but before Karpas, only the Oymer Hagoda washes in Tilis Yadayim, because it's only a Zechel Amigdash, so must speak, it's enough if the father of the household washes his hands. The common practice is that everybody washes B'li Brocha before... Most have the practice that everybody washes B'li Bracha before the Karpas. To be choshish for the Rambam's opinion. Rambam's opinion is that this takana even applies B'zman Hazeh. Once they made a takana, you have to wash with Dovish and Tevula B'mashke. It continues to apply even in our generation where everybody's tummy mace. Everybody went to a funeral at some time or another. So everybody's tummy. So because of this dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam, so the common practice is that one washes until it's Yadayim B'li Bracha. We wash until it's a dime to satisfy the Rambam's opinion. We leave out the bracha because we're concerned about Tosfos' opinion. According to Tosfos, the takana doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, so it would be a bracha levatola. The Vilna Goyen used to follow the opinion of the Rambam, so he used to say a bracha on Dovish et Tevula B'mashke. He would wash with a bracha. In Yiddish folklore, they tell over this story about the Yeshuvenik. In Europe, there used to be Yeshuvenik. It's very, very religious, but very, very ignorant of learning. They didn't know how to learn at all. So they didn't know, they tell loads of stories about the Yeshuvaniks, how religious they were, but they were big amehor. Tell about the Yeshuvanik that he washed before Karpas. He said, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivonu. Sure. So somebody asked him, what is that all about? So he says, it says Nagori, you wash and you don't say Al Netilas Yadayim. It was a Yeke. He followed the instructions. Says you wash, you don't say the last three words on Netilas Yadayim. So you should know that that's a joke, and what it means in the Haggadah is that you don't say a bracha at all. Like when they say it's a minig dashim, it doesn't say the custom is that the women put the 10 pieces. It means it's a minig ami haaretz. So over here also, when it says you don't say anatilas adayim, it means you leave out the whole bracha. You don't just leave out the last three words. Regarding karpas, the Shulchan Aruch recommends that one should eat less than a kazayis of karpas. And they give a whole explanation because Tosfos in the last perek in Psachim presents a dispute among the Rishonim. One opinion in the Rishonim is that with the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem, who composed the piyut for Shabbos HaGadol, which all the Rishonim used to recite, and they quote all the time from this piyut. They wrote Perushim on the piyut for Shabbos HaGadol, and the Yerzeruah and others have long commentaries on the Pirush, on the piyut of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem. So he writes in his piyut for Shabbos HaGadol, printed in all the Sidurim, that when we say Bar Pri Hadom on the Karpas, this is to cover the Bar Pri Hadom on the Morah. So we should have in mind that this is going to cover the Broch on the Morah. Other Rishonim disagree. They say, what do you mean the Broch on the Morah? The Morah you eat in the middle of the meal. like any vegetable you eat, on the soup, on the kugel, you say a bracha. Dvarma boy machmas hasud. You don't have to say a bracha on the maror. And in fact, the bracha bar pi adam on the karpas cannot cover the bar pi adam on the maror because it's such a long haggadah in between. So there's a hesach hadas, and they quote the Gemara says that there's a hesach hadas. The others answered back, no, the Gemara says that it's a hesach hadas for netilus yadayim, for shmiras hayadayim. Because the Gemara asked the question, if you just washed netilus yadayim before karpas, what are you washing again before hamaitzah? You just washed before. The Gemara says such a long haggadah, there's a hesach hadas. The Gemara means a hesach hadas for neshmiras hayadayim. He may not be careful with his hands. The Gemara never meant to say it's a hesach hadas from the eating of the food. So this is a dispute in the Rishonim. So according to those who Rishonim claim that you have a hesach hadas, that the bar pi adama on the karpas cannot possibly cover the mara, so if you really have a hesach hadas, then you ought to say bar nefoshes after you eat the karpas. According to the others, what kind of bar nefoshes? I said the bar pi adama on the karpas having in mind to cover the mara, so not supposed to say bar nefoshes, then the mara will be left without any bracha. So because of this dispute, so we should have in mind when we say Bar Pi Adam on the karpas to cover the mar, but we should be careful. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg. The Maharam Rutenberg was from the Hasidi Ashkenaz, from the later Bali Atesis, who tried to satisfy all the opinions. Like the Mishnah Berurah picked this up from the Hasidi Ashkenaz, try to be Yotze Yidei Kol Hadeis. So to be Yotze Yidei Kol Hadeis, he came up with this Ein file, you should be careful not to eat a kazayis, so you won't have a suffix on the Bar Nefoshes afterwards. A lot of people are hungry. And if you have a lot of children, and all the children are going to say all the gematrios and the rashitavis that they learned in school, the taka is going to be a long hesach hadas, it's going to take a long time. You're going to be starving till you get to the meal. So a lot of people are not really so interested in just eating less than a kazayis of karpas. They want to have a couple of potatoes. So if they want it, okay. So the Magen Avraham says that the karpas should really not be potatoes. He says it should be a green vegetable, because the Mishnah talks about yirokas. So he says, it should be some green vegetable. Okay. Rabbi Kevega quotes from the Yerushalmi that karpas is petroizel. So petroizel is petrushka. Okay, that's what they used to eat in Europe. So you should eat some green vegetable. But to tell people that they should be careful not to eat a kazayas, if people want to, tell them have as much as you want, and then every 15 minutes have another nibble of a piece of potato, or whatever it is that they're eating. Let them make sure that there is no hesach hadas. Make sure that there is no hafsaka between the eating of the bar pi adama and the eating of the vegetables in the middle of the meal. So some have that practice. They keep on eating as they go on. They eat some more. Our practice is, like it says in our Haggadah, that right after the karpas we have yachatz. We break. Most have the practice that you have three matzahs. You start off with three matzahs, then you break one of the three. You're left with 2.5 matzahs. Why do you break the matzah? Because the Gemara says that you have to have lechemoni, madarki shaloni bepruso, avkam bepruso. So the Rambam happens to start off with two matzahs. And he says you break one of the matzahs, you're left with 1.5 matzahs. Okay, so that's another. Some have the practice, those who follow the tradition of the Vilna Goyen, so they follow that opinion. In Valozhin, those who came from Valozhin families, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik, both had this tradition from Valozhin Yeshiva to follow the Vilna Goyen's opinion that you start off with two matzahs and you break 1.5, you're left with 1.5 matzahs. Instead of starting off with three and you're left with 2.5, so they start off with two, left with 1.5. So the Rambam holds that you have 1.5 matzahs, but he says you break the matzah before Hamoitzi. Normally you have Lechem Mishnah and a Yontav, you have two Shleimas. On Pesach night, because it says in the Chumash, Lechem Oni, Madarki Shaloni Beprusa, so you break one of the matzahs, you only have 1.5, right before you say Hamoitzi. Our practice is that we start off with three, and we break one of the three before we start the whole Magid, before the Haggadah. So the Maharal Miprag, in his commentary on Haggadah, explains why. Because the Gemara has another comment on Lechem Oni, Lechem Shoinim Olav Dvarim Harbe. You should have the matzahs there when you're reciting the Haggadah. So because we say Lechem Oni means a prusa, you should have a prusa when it's Lechem Shoinim Olav Dvarim Harbe. You should have a broken matzah when you recite the whole Haggadah. So our practice is that we have the yachatz, not like the Rambam. Rambam has yachatz before Hamoitzi. We have yachatz before Magid. Magid is important. The Magen Avraham and Hilchos Pesach quotes from one of the Rishonim, that if your wife and your children don't understand the Haggadah, you have to say it in English. Magen Avraham says you have to say it in English. He quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu Milondon. and his wife didn't understand Hebrew, so he had to say the Haggadah in English. That's in the days of the Balei HaTesis. We live in America, so for sure, whoever doesn't understand the Haggadah should say in English. You have to understand what you're saying. The din is that we don't require that each and every person should say the Haggadah. The Gemara says clearly that if one person recites the Haggadah and the others are paying attention, you can apply the principle of Shamei Kohen. Not only do we rely on Shamei Kohen regarding Kiddush and Avdallah and other mitzvahs as well, Kriyas HaMegillah, you apply Shamei Kohen to the Haggadah too. The Haggadah, the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim should be fulfilled. Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Chachamim established that we should fulfill a mitzvah within the framework of four brachas alakos. So the first bracha alakos is Kiddush. Second bracha alakos is Asher Ge'olonu V'Golas Avosenu Mitzrayim. The third bracha alakos is Birchas HaMazon. And the fourth bracha alakos is Birchas HaShir. So whenever one recites a bracha alakos, the Gemara says he's supposed to lift up the kos, magbia tefach mi'al ha'shulchan. So the proper practice, everybody knows by Kiddush, he's supposed to pick it up. Kiddush Avdallah, most people know you have to pick it up, preferably a tefach. If a person is nervous, he's going to spill the wine, so you don't pick it up a tefach. So you pick it up less than a tefach, okay? Try to hold it a tefach mi'al gabi ha'shulchan. Remember, Rabbeinu Shvinkel told us that he was once at a Sheva Brachas, so they were machmer, they gave him a becher so gigantic, a chazanish becher, to make sure that it has a revius. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half, so they gave him a whole gallon of wine. So he picked it up like this. So they asked him, what are you picking up? So he said, he's machmer on the Shia Tefach. If they're machmer on the Shia revius, he should be machmer on the Shia Tefach. He picked it up like this above his head. So Tefach, we know how Tefach is 3.6 inches long. Rav Moshe says that's good enough. So one should really hold the cup when one recites Asher Ge'olonu also, when one recites Birchas HaMazon Pesach night. Everybody says that Birchas HaMazon is recited ala kos, so one should pick up the kos of Yain. At least the father of the household who's going to say the benching out loud, he should say, or each person going to say softly, so each person should pick up the cup of wine when he says it. And then Asher Ge'olonu, the bracha at the end, one should also pick up the kos, tefach me'al gabi ha'shulchan. The Bach is quoted by the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch as saying that l'chatchile, more correct is that one should drink kol ha'kos. And when the Gemara says if you drink rov ha'kos, that's a bit of it, it's good. Sometimes we would recommend shasal tachkiri evadami. If a person is afraid he's going to get drunk and he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvahs properly, or he's not going to feel well, or he's going to get all full and he won't be able to enjoy eating the meal and so on. So let him rely on Ruba Kukula. Let him not drink kol ha'kos. But if it's not going to cause any difficulties, so the Bach is quoted by the Poskim that one should l'chatchila drink kol ha'kos. After we complete the Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, as is, appears in all the Haggadahs, so we wash again a second time, and this time you do say a bracha, regular Tilas Adayim for Hamoitzi. So then you have to have our practice, that most people have the practice, that you have 2.5 matzahs, and you have the 2 shleimas, that's for the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, like an Ani Yontav, Suras Yontav. And then the Prusa is for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, 2 distinct mitzvahs. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh that the proper practice is that one should eat 2 kezeisim. 1 kezeis from the Shleimah to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontav, like any Shabbos and Yontav, that you have to take a kezeis from the kezeis is a kula. Some hold that you're not yotzei Sudas Yontav and Shabbos if you eat less than a kebeitzah. So the Rosh is mekel on us, he's giving us a break. That you should, if you eat a kazayis from the Lecha Mishnah, from the Shleimus, that's enough for that mitzvah of Sudas Yontav. And then you should have a kazayis from the Prusa to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah. The Matzah should be from the Lecha Moni, from the Prusa. If you have many people sitting around the table, so how can you have a kazayis from the Shleimah, kazayis from the Prusa for all of the people? So the proper practice is you should give every third or fourth person. If you have some married couples at the table, so you give every other married person, you give them their own 2.5 matzahs, and you tell them, say your own hamotzi, be motzi your wife, and some of your children. And then if they have 10 children, so you give the oldest child his own 2.5 matzah. Tell everybody that they should have their own lechem mishnah, 2.5 matzahs, and to try to see to it that you give everybody kazayis from the shleimah, kazayis from the prusa. The Gemara talks about the possibility of requiring shalachem by matzah. So the Rosh takes the Gemara literally that you have to have shalachem. So the Taz points out that there's a problem if the balabos has guests at his table and he paid for the matzahs, so how is it shalachem of the guests? So the Taz says that everybody has in mind when you give the matzahs to the guests that it's a matana, that it should belong to them. So some have the practice of saying it explicitly instead of just relying on this umdine, because when you look in Ebenezer, not everybody agrees to this umdine, that it's self-understood that when you have guests, you're giving them ownership of the food. Some say that you're giving them permission to eat your food. I retain ownership for myself and I give you permission to eat it. So that's why others feel that it's more correct that one should say explicitly before you wash. Say, I'm going to wash, I'm going to give everybody their own matzah, and everybody should have in mind to be kind of the matzah, that it should be shalachem, to satisfy the Rosh's opinion. Regarding the two kezesim, which the Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Rosh, it should have one kezais from the shleim and one kezais from the prusa, because of two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Suras Yontif that you need two shleimas, and one mitzvah of matzah that you need a prusa. So the Mishnah Berurah, who's usually looking for chumris, over here the Mishnah Berurah picks on the Shulchan Aruch. Why did he quote this chumra of the Rosh? Even though the Rosh and a few Rishonim say it, he thinks that the more accepted opinion should be that it's sufficient with one kezais. Why one kezais? They're not two distinct mitzvahs. It's one and the same mitzvah. The mitzvah is that the Sudas Yontif should consist of a prusa. It's not that there's a mitzvah. This really depends on how many matzahs you have. The common practice is that we have 2.5 matzahs. So we assume the two different mitzvahs. We have the two shleimas for the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif, and we have the prusa for the mitzvah of matzah. The Mishnah Berurah is sort of arguing we should be maker like the other Rishonim. If you have 1.5 matzahs, what does that mean? That the mitzvah of matzah is identical with the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. You're not supposed to have 2.5. You're supposed to have 1.5. The mitzvah of matzah, that it should be lechem oni, madakar shaloni beprusa, tells you the nature of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. Matzah leil Pesach is the mitzvah. It's identical with the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. So those Rishonim hold that it's enough with one kezayis. So the Mishnah Berurah is pushing for that opinion, that it's enough with one kezayis. If you push with that opinion, so you should have pushed for the position that you only need 1.5 matzahs, that he doesn't push for. But the pashtus is that the two are connected. So look, if it's too difficult, you don't make life impossible. We try to make life a little difficult, but we're not trying to make life impossible. So if it's too difficult to have two kezaisim of matzah when you say moitzi matzah, and then another kezais v'kur, then two kezaisim for afikoyman, so it's too difficult, so you have one kezais, one kezais, one kezais. The two kezaisim for the afikoyman, that's a chumra, the Maharil is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the afikoyman is supposed to be zecha l'korban Pesach, and they always used to eat two kezaisim of the korban Pesach. That's why they quote the Maharil in Shulchan Aruch. So the Noisekelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch say they never heard of that. Two kezaisim of korban Pesach. The Mishnah says one kezais is enough. So they say the Maharil was written by one of the Talmidim. He must have made a mistake. He probably heard wrong. The Maharil must have said that you should eat two kezaisim of the afikoyman, one kezais zecha l'Pesach, one kezais zecha l'Chagiga. Because on Erev Pesach, they used to bring a Chagigas Arba Os in addition to the Korban Pesach. And on Pesach night, everybody used to eat first the Kazayas of the Chagigah, and then the Kazayas of the Korban Pesach. So that's what the Noisekelim on the side, the Taz and the other, they all say, it must be a mistake in the Sefer Maril that was written, the Drushes Maril, the Chuvas Maril were written by the Maril. The Drushes Maril, they go, Nisani or Sivani, tells you all the minhagin, all the piyutim, and all the slichas and the kinis, what the minig is, and what you say, and so on, what you don't say, when you don't say tachnun, and so on. So they say that sefer was written by a Talmud, and maybe he made a mistake over here. The later Achrenim point out that the Achrenim didn't have access to a Rambam. The Rambam says that l'chatchili yitu kezesim of the Korban Pesach. When it says in the Gemara, if you ate one kezes, is good, that's b'diyevit. But l'chatchila, the Rambam learns that's the halacha, that you should eat Korban Pesach kedei lizba mimenu. The Rambam doesn't hold like Tesis that the Korban Pesach is nechal ala sova at the end of the meal as dessert. The Rambam holds you can eat the Korban Pesach kadeshi hei tam Pesach b'fi, you shouldn't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. But it's not that there's a din that is nechal ala sova. He quotes the din that you should eat Korban Pesach kadeh lizbom, he meant you should eat kadeh sviya. you should eat two kezesim of the Korban Pesach to demonstrate that the Korban Pesach is the Ike mitzvah as opposed to the Chagigas Arbasa, which is the less important of the two mitzvahs. So the Maril really was referring to this Rambam. He says you should eat two kezesim of Afikoman, because the Afikoman is Echel of Pesach, and he always used to eat two kezesim according to this position of the Rambam. Alright, so look, this is a Chumrah. Others say that there's no need to have two kezesim of Afikoman. So if a person really can't, Rabbi Schwab Zichron Lecha used to be the rabbi here in the neighborhood. So the last few years of his life, he wasn't permitted to eat bread or matzah. So he never ate bread all year long. Shabbos Yontem never ate bread. So he told me the first night of Pesach he ate one kezayis, and the second night of Pesach he ate a smaller kezayis. Second night of Pesach is only midirabbanan. First night of Pesach is deraisa. So the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there are two opinions. How much is the volume of a kezayis? Is it a chatzi beitza or a shlish beitza? So the Magen Avraham makes a hachra with respect to dinam deraisa we go lechumah, with respect to dinam derabbanan we go lekula. So Rabbi Schwab told me the first night of Pesach it was not healthy for him to eat too much. All year long he didn't eat bread at all the last couple of years of life. So he said the first night he ate a chatzi beitza of matzah, the second night he ate a shlish beitza of matzah. It's only the rabbanan, and that's all. That he didn't eat five kezesim, he didn't eat four kezesim, he didn't eat two kezesim, he ate one kezayis, and the kezayis was tiny, very small. People have exaggerated shiurim for kezesim. It doesn't correspond that to the olives that they sell in the store. We know what size the olives are. The olives are always the same size. They're very small olives. They quote in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that kafayad, if you have a piece of matzah the size of this part of your hand, that's a kezayis. That's a kezayis already. They have now all kinds of exaggerated shiurim, but Mikra Din, the Chazon Ish said Mikra Din, he really agrees with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He admitted that all of the shiurim that they're all recommending are all exaggerated shiurim. If you eat a kezayis the way they describe in the books, that's already two kezayis. You don't have to eat two of those. That's already two kezayis. The Gemara and Daf Mem has a machlekes where they need shmura mishas ktsira, or it's enough shmura mishas lisha. So in Shulchan Aruch they recommend that one should be machmet to have shmura mishas ktsira. It's much more expensive, but the proper thing is that one should be medaktik to make sure. Many households in America, they just use egg matzahs for the Seder, which is not really right. Rav Soloveitchik used to point that according to the Rambam's opinion, egg matzah is kosher for Leil HaSeder. But that's not, the Rambam's opinion is not the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Accepted opinion is that egg matzah is a matzah ashira, and it's not kosher. And the regular matzahs that they sell in the store are not matzah ashira, but they're not shmur mishas ktsira. And even if one holds that Tishmur Mishas Ktsira is a Chumre, it could be that it was a Chumre in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel where there was a dry season that it didn't rain. But in America, that it rains all year long, summer and winter, it always rains. It could be that Medina, you have to have Shmur Mishas Ktsira. Because if it rained on the wheat after it was harvested, it could be it was sitting in a puddle of water. And it is a likelihood that it could have turned into chametz. So the proper practice is that for the Siddurim, one should have Shmur. At least for the one kezayis, the Rosh Hashanah eating two kezayis and one kezayis for the mitzvah Sudas Yontif, and one kezayis for the mitzvah of matzah. So at least for the mitzvah of matzah, you have to have shmura, even if you're going to have pshuta for the kezayis of the Sudas Yontif. You should try to see to it, even though it's much more expensive, that you have shmura matzah for the siddur. There are different practices, whether one insists dafka on having hand shmura and one insists dafka on having machine shmura. Many have the tradition that they insist on hand shmura because it's a little bit questionable whether the machine shmura is considered nasa l'shma. The shmura ha-matzah has to be baked l'shma. Even though there's a machlekes, b'sham ein b'sila, whether the sukkah has to be made l'shma, but the matzah has to be made l'shma, afilu l'shitas b'sila. Everybody agrees the matzah has to be baked l'shma. So that's a little bit of a question. When you push a button, you say the Shem Mitzvah Matzah, is that considered Asiya L'shma? So most of the overwhelming majority of the Poskim, with the Chazon Ish included, all the Machmirim, they hold that it is considered Asiya L'shma. Chassidishim, Misnagdishim, most of the Poskim hold that it is considered Asiya L'shma. But still, many are concerned, so many have the insistence Dafka on using Hin Shmura to make sure that it's L'shma. And others say no, the issue of the Shma was resolved already. We assume that the machine Shmura is called L'shma. And another crucial element of Shmur is that it should be Shema Mechima. It's not just Asiya L'shma. You should be careful that it doesn't turn into Chametz. So the faster you bake your matzahs, So the more mehudar it is in the area of shmura. So we know that the machine shmura takes much less time to manufacture than the hand shmura. Hand shmura takes three times as long. Machine shmura is made in a matter of very few minutes, the whole thing from the beginning to the end. So that's why many are insistent that it's preferable to have machine shmura as opposed to hand shmura. So each one should follow his family tradition. You have no family tradition, ask your local Orthodox rabbi or your Rebbe and yeshiva. So adopt one practice or the other. Taisus is of the opinion, Taisus and Rashbam are of the opinion that when one says Hamoitzi al achilas matzah in the beginning of the meal, they really have in mind afikoyman that they're going to eat in the end of the meal. The Maharil says that afikoyman is echel pesach. That's what the Rosh says. So the Maharil is following the Shita of Rosh. But the Rashbam and Taisus say no, afikoyman at the end is not echel pesach. We have Shnei Tapshilin on the Kaira. The Shnei Tapshilin are Zecha LePesach and Zecha LaChagiga. That's what it says in the Gemara. You don't have to eat them. They should just sit there and you look at them. That's Zecha LePesach and Zecha LaChagiga. The Afikoyman at the end of the meal is the Ike Mitzvah's Matzah. Because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Taisus is reconstructing. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate the Korban Pesach at the end. Kedei Shehei Tam Pesach Befiv. Hey, Maktir Nacha Pesach Afikoyman. And it should be Nechal Al HaSova. So they ate the Korban Pesach at the end. That they ate the Korban Pesach in the end, they ate the matzah in the end as well. So the Ikar Mitzvah's matzah is at the end of the meal. So when we say Al Achilas Matzah at the beginning of the meal, we really have in mind the matzah we're going to eat at the end of the meal. In fact, there was an opinion of the Shaloh that's referred to by the commentaries on the page of the Shulchan Aruch that one should not talk from the time that you say Al Achilas Matzah until you eat the Afikoyman. That's Chumrah. I think Rav Soloveitchik said his grandfather had that practice to be choshish for the shalom, that you shouldn't talk. That's not the common practice. So Tosfos claims like that. When you say the bracha al achilas matzah in the beginning of the meal, you really have kavanah shelo lotzis with the first matzah that you eat, and you really have kavanah that should cover the afikoyman that you're going to eat in the end of the meal. So whatever, one should have in mind that he wants to be yotzei the way the takanas chachamim was, whatever the takanas chachamim was. According to Taisus, the Afikoyman is the Ikar Mitzvah's Matzah. According to the other Rishonim, the Ikar Mitzvah's Matzah at the beginning of the meal. Here there is a Seder Lachatchila Deraisa, the Rashbam writes. We have first Matzah, then we have Mor, as it says in Chumash al Matzah, Samram Yachlu, first Matzah, then Mor. But if you have the Mor before the Matzah, you would be Yotzei. But the Seder is Lachatchila, it's not Miyaket B'diyevet. So after we eat the Matzah, we eat the Mor. The Mishnah lists off five different vegetables that are acceptable for Mor. So people usually assume that tamcha is the second of the vegetables mentioned in the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Tesem and Aleph. People usually assume that tamcha is charein, horseradish. Now the horseradish in the jar is cooked already, and it has it soaking in vinegar. So that's not acceptable for the mitzvah mor. Some people think they buy kosher the Pesach horseradish in the jar, and they're going to use that. So that's mevushal, and it's kavush, and that's not acceptable. You have to have horseradish that was not soaking in vinegar. For those who feel that tamcha means charein. This was the common practice in Europe in many different areas for many, many years. The first of the five vegetables listed in the Mishnah is romaine lettuce, chazeres. The Rishonim say lettuce, latuga, lettuce. And the Yerushalmi says that that's preferable. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi that the five vegetables are listed in the Mishnah in descending order of importance. The preferable is to use romaine lettuce. Some poskim are of the opinion that lettuce and romaine lettuce are all the same thing, so you can use regular iceberg lettuce. And others insist, no, that you got to use dafka romaine lettuce. We know that bisman ha-gemara, bisman ha-mishnah, they didn't have regular lettuce in Eretz Yisrael. So when the Tanoim are talking about chazeres, they're talking about romaine lettuce. That's questionable whether regular lettuce is sufficiently similar to be acceptable or not. The romaine lettuce is known to have a lot of worms, so you got to be very careful. You have to wash it off very carefully. The worms... Most of the worms are rasa b'achila. Some of them are muta b'achila. Most of the worms are rasa b'achila. They're not healthy anyway. So you got to make sure that you get rid of all the worms. Preferable is not to use the horseradish. People get sick from horseradish. Many are of the opinion that if you're not yotze with horseradish, it's not a mitzvah min amufra. At all, people think that's romaine lettuce. That's second-rate citizen. The main maror is the horseradish. It's not so. The Yerushalmi says that you go in descending order. And the first man l'chol hadeis is romaine lettuce. The preferable is to have romaine lettuce. I was told by Dr. Neuberger, Rabbi Neuberger's older brother, that the emergency wards in New York City, the two nights of Pesach, more crowded with religious Jews than all year long, because the people get sick from eating the horseradish, or from drinking darbekaisis that they're not allowed to drink, or from eating too much matzah that they're not allowed to eat, or they have an allergic reaction to the matzah, to the mor, whatever. So this is utterly ridiculous. We're celebrating Zman Chayrusein and we're all getting sick. The 2 days of the year that you have more Orthodox people in the emergency rooms than the rest of the year. It's the 2 nights of Pesach that's scandalous. Such people should consult their doctor, consult their rabbi, and decide in advance how much wine they're going to drink. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you're not allowed to drink wine, you make Arba Kaisis on Chamar Medina. You don't have to get sick. You don't have to die over the Arba Kaisis. You don't have to get sick over the Mor. You don't have to get sick over the Matzah. If a person is not healthy, say they're not allowed to eat more, so you don't eat more. If you have an allergic reaction, so you don't eat more. If you get sick from matzah, so you don't eat matzah. Matzah is a mitzvah in Atar, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva based on Gemara. So there's no mitzvah to get sick. If you're going to get sick from listening to the Kiyah Shofar, so you're not mechuyev to blow shofar. There's no din of Yehorek Vayavar on these mitzvahs. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that after we have the matzah and the mor, then we have karach, and we have the karach is a zechel amigdash, that he'll used to eat the matzah and the mor together. So on the Shulchan Aruch it says that when one says the bracha al achilas matzah and the bracha al achilas mor, they should have in mind that they should cover the karach, because we're not sure, maybe the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah matzah mor is dafka b'kricha, having both together. So we should have in mind that the brachas over the matzah and the mor should cover the karach as well. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, one should not be mafsik, one should not talk in between the reciting of the brachas and the eating of the korach. That's why the Mishnah Brura has a taina that in all the Haggadahs it's printed in big letters, that a person should, with nekudas, that a person should say, Zechel HaMikdash Kehil Kenas Ehilo. So he says, how can he say this before you eat the korach? Isn't this a hefsek? It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to say this. So why did someone put it in? So the Mishnah Brura thinks that it must be a mistake. It was probably printed in small letters as instructions, as an explanation that the eating of the korach is a Zechel HaMikdash Kehil, but not that you have to say it. So many have the practice of not saying Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel because of this Mishnah Brur. Other people have the practice that you say the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel after you eat the Korach. After you eat the Korach, you can talk all you want. We're not machmer for the Shalom, not to talk till you eat the Afikana. So then you can talk all you want after you eat the Korach. Many people can't hold themselves back. They weren't talking the whole night. So when they start chewing the matzah, they already start talking. They start chewing the mor. You have to swallow a kazayis. You're not supposed to talk. When you start sipping the wine, they already start talking. It's not right. You should eat the whole kazayis, and then you can talk. It's in the kazayis of matzah, you shouldn't talk till after the korach. So we have to tell everyone, they have to restrain themselves for another 2 minutes till they finish eating the korach. The Mishnah has a machlokes whether charoisis is only for health reasons, that you dip the mor into the charoses, or it's for religious reasons. So we're machmer that it's for religious reasons as well. So that's why there's a special recipe how you're supposed to manufacture charoses. What are the ingredients supposed to be? So it's supposed to have tapuach, zechel tapuach, tachas tapuach haraticho, and the Gemara says tapuach is supposed to be some kind of a citrus fruit that has a sharpness to it. Tapuach in American means an apple, but tapuach in biblical Hebrew, Tosis points out, means a citrus fruit. So you should have a little orange in it, then it should have te'enim and shkedim and all kinds of things. Tosis and the Shulchan Aruch give you all of the ingredients. Most balabustas do not make it. The Sfardim make it the kamosha kosov. The Sfardim make charoses the way it says in the Tshuvas Hagoyim. Most balabustas do not make charoses the way it's supposed to. If it's supposed to be special ingredients, it's supposed to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch that because there are three different opinions, what is the mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Charoises? So one opinion is that it's Zechel Tit. So the Tit was thick cement that they used to build the pyramids in Egypt. So the Charoises should be brought to the table in a thick state. And then one opinion in the Yerushalmi is Rav Lezber Absar calls Charoisa mitzvah Zechel Adam, all the Jewish blood that was spilt. Not the Christian blood, the Jewish blood that was spilt by the non-Jews. The Jews were not spilling any Christian blood. The non-Jews were spilling all the Christian blood. All the generations. The Jews never spilled any non-Jewish blood. So the Zechel Adam, so you should pour in red wine right before you're about to dip in the mor into the charoses and make it liquidy. So that's the way it's described in the Shulchan Aruch. There are more quotes in the name of the Ran in the Masechas Megillah that based on the Gemara, one should try to complete all the Arba Kaisis, that's the whole Haggadah should be over by Chatzos, by midnight. So sometimes you just can't do it. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. But if it's possible, so one should aim at that. The fourth cup of wine, one recites the Birchas Hashir. What exactly is the Birchas Hashir? So the Gemara has two opinions, and the Gemara says we do both. To say Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach, and say Halalucha, like at the end of the Halal all the time. Exactly how does one say both? So there are two minhagim, two common minhagim. So there's Nusach Svard and there's Nusach Ashkenaz. The Hasidim who adopted davening Nusach Svard, so they recite the Haggadah Nusach Svard also. The Ashkenazim who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so they say the Haggadah Nusach Ashkenaz. Half of the Haggadahs that you have in home must have 30 Haggadahs. Half of the Haggadahs will be Hasidish Haggadahs, which will have Nusach Svard. So you got to make up. If you're a Svaradi, or you're in a Hasidish, so daven, so say the Haggadah Nusach Svard. If your family is not Hasidish and it's not Svardish, then you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so you should say the Haggadah Nusach Ashkenaz. The Chok Yankiv, the Mefarshim on the page point out that it's not proper that when it comes to the last bracha, everybody's mumbling something else. Half of the people at the family have a Haggadah that has Nusach Ashkenaz, half of the people have a Nusach Svard. So you have to make up your mind in advance, take a vote, and decide whether most of the people or the father of the household should put his foot down, however major decisions are made in your family. Your mother makes them, whoever makes all the major decisions, so decide over here what Nusach you're going to say. So the Nusach Ashkenaz goes straight. When you finish the Halal, so you say your Halalucha up until the final Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mechalel Bat Tishbachas, and you don't say that. You don't say your Halalucha till and not including the Bracha. Then you say the 26 Kili Olam Chazdos, then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, and you go through the end of Yishtabach, and you conclude with the Bracha of Yishtabach, that's Nusach Ashkenaz. You go straight. And the Nusach Svard goes backwards and forwards. Nusach Svard, you end Halal, and then you say the 26 Kili Olam Chazdos. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, till the end of Yishtabach, but not saying the final Bracha at the end of Yishtabach, and then you go back to say your Halalucha at the end. So if you're Svardim, or if you're Hasidim, so you should make sure that everybody has that Nusach. And if you're Ashkenazim, you should make sure that everybody has the other Nusach. The Balamor points out that the second half of the Halal that's recited after the meal is the more important half. It's more than half. That's the more important part of the Halal. And he quotes a Gemara in the end of Tainus that the Halal should be recited Al-Keres Meleah B'Nefesh Tzeveah. So many families, they run through the second half of the Halal. They don't have any Nigunim for that. So try to adopt some Nigunim and try to see to it that everybody says the second half of the Halal properly. Yontif is Yontif. One has to be careful not to do malachas unnecessarily. If you have things in your pocket that you don't need, you're not allowed to carry them. Hoitzo exists. The Gemara has one opinion that Hoitzo is mutar on Yontif. That the conclusion is that that's not correct. Hoitzo is prohibited on Yontif, except that you have a heter rechel nefesh and tzarcha yom tzas. But to carry things in your pocket totally unnecessarily is prohibited on Yontif. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosis, where the Malacha Shalot Tzarech Klal constitutes an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanan. The Mechala Deitz is prohibited, so you have to check your pockets in advance. On Chalamoid, one is not permitted to walk around in your regular weekday clothes. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hamavazos, Hamoedos, Ein Lechel Kolam Abo. So Rashi explains that Mishnah refers to Chalamoid. You have to dress up nicely on Chalamoid. What correct is, you should have Big Day Yontif should be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. Big Day Shabbos should be fancier than Big Day Chol HaMoed. And Big Day Chol HaMoed should be fancier than Big Day Chol. If you don't have four different outfits, so you have no choice. So you wear the same begadim Shabbos, Yontif, and Chol HaMoed. If it's a toss-up, if you only have two sets of clothing, you have Shabbos Digger clothing, and you have weekday clothing, so Shabbos and Yontif and Chol HaMoed, you wear the same begadim. More correct is you have four sets of begadim. The Yontif is the fanciest, Shabbos is slightly lower, Chol HaMoed is lower, and the weekdays is lower. Chol HaMoed, there are Isuri Malacha, believe it or not. One is not permitted to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. You have the same Heterim that you have on Yontif, plus a few more Heterim. But aside from those Heterim, it's forbidden to do Malacha. There's a whole Maseches Moed Katan that holds the first two Prokem Maseches Moed Katan. Go through a lot of details, which Malachas you're permitted to do, which Malachas you're not allowed to do. Many of the Malachas that we do on Chol HaMoed are absolutely prohibited. So one should either get hold of a Chol HaMoed book in English, very nice sefer, Lamed Shin Sefer, or learn the Mishnayos, or learn the Gemara, some Maseches Moed Katan, we should get back to the proper observance of Chol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, you see Chol HaMoed in action. You see people are dressed up, Yantav Dig, the Kovet Dig. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't work for a living. They enjoy living. No one makes them, they enjoy living. Here in America, everybody's so into working for a living. So there's no Chol HaMoed here. It's terrible. Dovah HaAvid doesn't mean I'm going to lose my salary for the week. Dovah HaAvid means the money that I invested I'm going to lose. You're supposed to take off Chol HaMoed and not supposed to get your salary. You're supposed to be docked your pay for Chol HaMoed. You're supposed to take off for Chol HaMoed. Dovah HaAvid means if I'm going to not do the Melacha Chol HaMoed, I'll lose all the money that I invested already in this undertaking. But it doesn't mean, Dovah HaAvid doesn't mean I'm not going to get paid for Chol HaMoed. That's what Chol HaMoed is all about, not to get paid, not to get your salary. Okay. Wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.